The third step comes in Psalm 140, verse 3. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. People not only entertain misunderstanding in their hearts, but they share it and speak it aloud. They punctuate it in someone else's mind who now says, "Oh, I never knew that. Why, it makes sense. And you know what else I heard?" Just to make it a bit more juicy, they'll add a little here, stretch it a tad there, to make the story really sing, and before long, they're loving it. Meanwhile, you sit alone at home. You're not praying, you're thinking, "Oh Lord, what else are you saying?" as you bite your nails right down to the knuckle. Now you know why James says the tongue is an organ that can control us. David said, "Poison of a viper is under their lips." I heard recently that no creature's tongue moves faster than a serpent's. They're sometimes called treble-tongued because their tongues move so fast that they actually look like three tongues at once. David knew what he was talking about. Listen, the only muscle you need to break down another person's dignity is the muscle hidden inside your mouth. You can destroy a life with your tongue. I read of a case in which a woman's suicide note simply read, "They said," she never finished, "something they said killed her." Overcoming misunderstanding. You say, "What can I do when this sort of thing happens?" This is what David did. "I said to the Lord, 'Thou art my God.'" Psalm 140, verse 6. Notice he said this to the Lord. I suggest that you say it, not just think it. We need to verbalize our allegiance to the living God. There are times I say to the Lord right out loud, "Lord, you are mine. I count on you right now." That's precisely what David did. I remember that as I was growing up, I had an intense desire to become a professional football player. And I had specific plans to grow up big. Now, I became somewhat large, but not quite like what I had in mind. I had fantasized becoming this huge defensive end for the Green Bay Packers. I pictured myself with God hovering over me. Then when the Lord needed someone to get after bad people, he'd say, "Hey, take care of that guy for me. Sic 'em." And I would. But as I actually grew up, I realized I would never have thought sort of physical size or clout, so I learned to let God fight some of my battles. The techniques are decidedly different. Now there are times I say, "Lord, take care of that person. I can't fight him. He's smarter than I am. He's been fighting longer. Besides, I'm weary. You do it." And you know, he does. I have seen him do battle. It's like Ed Too Tall Jones fighting a dwarf. It's as though we have the right, when our enemies encompass us, to say to them, "Watch it, or I'll tell God on you." In fact, just before the parting of the Red Sea in that dramatic escape from Pharaoh, General Moses encouraged his people by saying, "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Exodus 14, verse 14. And David wrote, "Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, lest they be exalted." Psalm 140, verse 8. If that were not enough, look how David invited the Lord to finish off his enemies. "As for the head of those who surround me, may the mischief of their lips cover them, may burning coals fall upon them, may they be cast into the fire, into deep pits from which they cannot rise." Psalm 140, verses 9 and 10. Lord, put them in the pits. It's amazing what you find in the Bible. Let me tell you, the person who coexists with misunderstanding and bitterness is miserable. These enemies will hound you, nipping at your heels. But when you give the situation over to God and say, "Lord, I am defenseless. I am misunderstood. I am right, but they'll never believe it. You take over," God will perform the most unbelievable feats as he glorifies his name in your life. That's his specialty. We grow through misunderstanding. Through it, we come to see the Lord as our defense. You can lie down at night knowing that although the tongue of your accuser might be wagging, God is taking care of that situation. Do you have some friend at school giving you grief? Tell God about him. Is there some individual at work that you can't handle no matter what you do? Look, that's why you have a Savior, a Deliverer. You were born into the family of God, so don't be content to live like an orphan. Learn to bring your misunderstandings to Him. This past summer, my wife and I went through one of the most painful times of our lives. Disarmed and defenseless, we got a firsthand, bitter taste of that painfully familiar, paralyzing sting of humanity. We had done what was right, but we were misinterpreted and therefore maligned. Unfair criticism increased the pain and brought us in tears to our knees. I remembered a statement C.S. Lewis once made. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Believe me, he had our undivided attention. Crushed and bruised, all we could do was wait. Although the swelling from that sting is now gone, the memory is not. We shall never forget those anguishing weeks. But now that they are in the past, something very beautiful has emerged in our lives. We are much more sensitive to others, much more concerned about putting ourselves in the other guy's shoes. There's a lawyer in Texas who would give anything to convince one special family he's no turkey. But alas, that probably will never happen. For some, the swelling never seems to go down.